quite honestly, you never want to leave it. I mean, it's amazing. It has wonderful food. There's these big, huge TVs in there just in case you can't see the game, which is right in front of you. You can be inside the box. You can go out into the arena. I mean, a luxury box is a really nice place, and it's also a really safe place. In fact, nobody ever gets booed in the luxury box. You never foul out of the game in the luxury box because the game is not actually in the luxury box. But I'm telling you, the game is down on the court. And this morning, I want to say to us that God didn't make us for the skybox or the luxury box. God made you and I to get in the game. So I want to talk about leaving the regular seats, leaving the bleachers, and leaving the luxury box this morning, getting out of the spectator business and getting into the servanthood business. Man, when I was a kid, I just obsessed over basketball. I loved basketball. And every day when I would come home from school, I had the privilege of having a pretty nice basketball court in my backyard. And every day I'd come home and I'd shoot hoops. That was a big thing for me. And every day when I was shooting hoops, just as a young teenager, you know, I'm envisioning that I'm one of those stars on the court. How many of you ever did that? Please don't leave me hanging here. You know what I'm saying? And back in my day, and I'm dating myself again, you know, I wasn't dreaming of being Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Stephen Curry, because those guys might not have even been born back then. I was dreaming of being Dr. J. Anybody remember Dr. J? Dr. J was the Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. So anyway, my dream was not to be in the stands. My dream wasn't to be on the bench. My dream was to be in the game. And Jesus, when he taught on the subject of servanthood, when he brought this crucial subject to his followers, let me tell you, he would often get into people's faces and he would say things like this: if you want to follow me, then you will have to become a servant like me. People would have to decide, do I really want to follow this man or do I not? Very interesting. This past week, I happened to have the privilege of hearing Francis Chan speak in person, and one of the things he said absolutely shook me. He said, you know, I had to come to the place when I was pastoring in Simi Valley of asking the question or wrestling with the concept. He said, I really got to the place that I believed that if Jesus pastored in my city, my church would have been larger than his. And he said, the reason I believe that is because he isn't as concerned with keeping people as I was. He said, I poured everything into keeping a crowd, building a crowd, maintaining a crowd, drawing and attracting a crowd. And Jesus sometimes would just get right into people's faces and he would say things like this: if you want to follow me, then you'll have to become a servant like me. People would have to decide, do I really want to follow this man or do I not? So it's a simple message this morning I want to bring, and a little bit shorter, hopefully, than usual. And I want to really talk about this possibility of you and I, just this morning, freshly thinking about getting out of that luxury box and getting on to the court. Getting out of just being a spectator, just watching, just participating from afar, so to speak. Because there are certain joys that only those who get out of the seats and onto the court are going to enjoy. And the first one is simply this. Let me run through three with you quickly. Only when I get in the game can I know the joy of growing and developing the gift that God has given me. Only when I get in the game. Paul says in these words, 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each person has been given spiritual gifts, what he calls a manifestation of the Spirit, for the common good, for the building up of the church. The idea here is that when you choose to become a Christ follower, for everybody here who has done that, you know what? The Holy Spirit takes up residence in you and ignites within you these particular gifts that have been there. They're called motivational gifts. There's certain abilities and strengths that God has hardwired into you. And the Holy Spirit activates and energizes those gifts, particularly to build up his church. And I say this to you this morning because one of the most common reasons that people give for not serving is they say things like this: I just don't feel qualified. I don't think there's anything special that I can do. I'm not a spiritual giant. Can I just stop there for a minute, just take a little time out, just to use a sports analogy? Have you ever read the Bible? Anybody here ever read the Bible? You know, one of the things I absolutely love about the Bible is its gut level honest. I love about the Bible that it doesn't cover up the challenges and the flaws and the problems that people had who were used of God. Have you ever noticed that? God's writing this book. It seems like he could have, you know, he could have formed and fashioned it where there weren't problems, there weren't challenges, there weren't things, and made it look like some kind of glorious thing. But you know what? He left all the challenges and problems in there for a reason. Rick Warren puts a list together about the people that God used in the Bible. Listen to this morning. And think about the fact that, you know what? All of us are without excuse. God wants to use us. Think about the people that God used in the Bible. Here we go. Quick list. Abraham was on Medicare. How old was he when God began to work in his life? Moses had a speech impediment. Joseph was an ex-con. Rahab had a history of sexual misbehavior. David was a homicidal adulterer. Elijah was bipolar. He outran a chariot for miles one day, and he was suicidal the next day. John the Baptist ate bugs. Thomas doubted. Gideon panicked. Martha obsessed over housekeeping and food preparation. That's Martha in the Bible, not Martha Stewart, so don't get that confused. Jonah was directionally challenged. Samson was relationally challenged. Zacchaeus was vertically challenged and integrity challenged, and he worked for the IRS, so nobody really liked him. Jeremiah said he was too young. Sarah said she was too old. Paul was not exactly Dale Carnegie in the tax department. And Peter was a poster boy for spiritual attention deficit disorder, wouldn't you say? And those are just some of the people that God chose to use. Those are just some of the people that God changed the world through. So here's the question for you this morning. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Yeah, we have a ton of them, but none of them will withstand in the presence of God. Anybody in the Bible could have said no because they felt inadequate. But think about what they would have missed if they had have. I love this quote that Eugene Peterson, great author of The Message and many great books, he says this: a ruthless honesty will always leave us shattered by our inadequacy for God's work. But this is not about what you or I can do. See, Paul keeps coming back to this issue of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kind of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God. See, if we really boil it down, it's about what Jesus can do through us. What Jesus wants to do through us. This is why the idea of spiritual gifts is so important. A lot of people don't understand this about the church. God's plan was not for the church just to be one more volunteer organization where people serve out of manipulation or pressure or guilt because they get nagged into it. No, God created this new community. He created a family, the church. And then he created spiritual gifts, and he placed them in every single member of that family. It's an amazing idea when you think about it. He gives them to every follower of Christ, and that includes you. That includes me. And he says in his plan for unleashing this new community, everybody gets to play a part. Everybody gets to be in on. This is God's fabulous vision for the community called the church. And spiritual gifts are absolutely fundamental to what has brought New Song to the place it is and to what will take it forward into the future. When you serve in your area of spiritual giftedness, you make yourself available for God to work through you in supernatural ways. I can tell you from experience that there are times when you work in an area of spiritual giftedness that God does something in you and you fully recognize, you know what, I couldn't have done that on my own. And your faith just gets built up in ways that it couldn't be otherwise. I want to tell you that if you miss this, you're missing part of the reason that you were created. Ephesians 2:10 says that God made you a masterpiece. I heard a guy this week, I was in a seminar this week, and he just had a little girl. He's a pastor and just had a little girl, and he named her Poema. One of my favorite words from the Greek New Testament. It's that word that we translate oftentimes as masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10. God made you a masterpiece. He made you a poema. He made you a poem, literally, that he wrote down and crafted by his own hand. You ever sat down and tried to write a poem? It's not so easy, is it? It takes time, doesn't it? It takes a lot from within you to craft that, make the words fit, bring the balance, bring the rhyming, however kind of poem it is you're writing. There's something very, very personal about it. And God says, that's you. He made you his poem, his masterpiece. See, the truth is, folks, there's no spiritual giants. There are no spiritual giants. There's just people in the stands and people in the game. People in the stands and people in the game. That's why I want to encourage you to get in the game, because when you do, you'll know the joy of developing the gift that God has given you and offering it back to him to be a blessing. The second joy is this: only when getting in the game do you know the joy of making a difference in somebody else's life, in some little corner of the world that matters for the kingdom, a corner that matters for eternity. It's a strange thing, and I think we kind of all know this. When I make the aim of my life to please myself, nothing is ever going to be enough. You ever thought about that? I mean, literally, no matter how nice that luxury box is, you know, we live in a part of the world, by the privilege of being here in the United States of America, where quite honestly, there's a lot of nice luxury boxes. But eventually the thrill wears off, because somebody always has a nicer luxury box. Have you noticed that? We get caught into a trap of competing and comparing. And people can spend their whole lives trying to acquire and furnish nicer, bigger, better luxury boxes. Can I tell you the problem with that real quick? The problem is, sooner or later, everybody ends up in the same luxury box. You know where it is? It's located at the same address, pretty much. You know where it is? About 6 feet underground. And it can be marble, it can be pine, it can be luxurious, but whoever's lying in it doesn't really care. What matters when it's time for your final box is not how many nice boxes you had. It really comes down to who you served along the way, who you helped in the name and the power of Jesus along the way. And I'll tell you something. I've never met anybody, I've never yet to meet anyone who regretted a life of service. I've never met anybody who came to the end of his or her life, spent serving other people, and said, you know what? My one big regret is I wish I'd watched more TV. You know, my big regret is I really wish I'd spent more time on social media. If only I'd checked my updates a few more times on my iPhone, I'd be so satisfied and so happy. By the way, studies are coming out. They continue to pour out. They continue to show that people who spend more time on social media are much less satisfied with their lives. Do you know that? It's a trap the enemy has laid for us, and most of us are just unknowingly falling into it. My focus should not be on me. I'm to use whatever gifts I have to help somebody else flourish and to help the community of God become healthier. It's not about me. I'm called to be a servant. What Jesus was saying is, if you want to be great, be a servant. That phrase captures what Jesus was after. Jesus' aim was to build a community where everybody sees themselves as a servant, a whole place where nobody is seeking to be out front, nobody is pursuing his or her own agenda, and everybody's learning about their gifts and developing those gifts and growing in them. That's a beautiful thing. Can you give the Lord a praise? And the reason they're doing it is because they have the spirit of wanting to be a servant, like Jesus said. And when you do that, let me tell you, you know the joy of helping somebody else. And really, that's the joy that matters. That's the joy that matters. Last night I was with Mike and Amy Barr for a bit, and Mike and Amy are our church planters in Mount Washington at Lifeline Community Church, and Amy told me a beautiful little story. It was so cool. They brought their kids out to youth last night. We had a great time at youth. By the way, shout out to Zach and Ada, who graduated this weekend from Ignite. That is awesome. Proud of those guys. Zach sent me a picture yesterday. I should have put it up and showed you, but he just said, thanks for making this happen. He wasn't going to go to his graduation. We're like, Zach, you got to go, man. And they had a really wonderful time this weekend. I wish I could have been there with them. But Amy told me this. So I was here at youth last night helping to lead our youth program, and Amy told me this story. She said, Pastor Jeff, Friday night we had a little youth gathering in Mount Washington, one of our first, and we had 15 kids come out. And she said one little girl came. She's 13 years old. Her name was Jill. And she said to me, Miss Barr, it's the first time I've ever been in church in my whole life. And I got to tell you, it feels really good. That's what she said. It feels really good. I thought, is that a cool thing or not? And then she said this. Listen to these words. She said, and you know what? It gives me hope. It gives me hope. This is a 13-year-old talking about her very first experience in this wonderful community of servants that Jesus himself has formed and fashioned called the church. Jesus was saying, if you want to be great, be a servant. Another joy, and this is the last one. Only when you get out of the bleachers into the game of servanthood will you know the joy of doing what is great in God's eyes. What God says really matters. Jesus said, this really is possible, that one day people will stand before God, and God will say to human beings like you and I, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's Matthew chapter 25. Servant. We have a big job to do. We're literally being called by the Lord himself to build an alternate culture. Because in this part of the world, we live in a culture that's obsessed with stars and celebrities and 15 minutes of fame and who's the greatest. We live in a world that's obsessed. Human nature's always been that way. Jesus' followers in his day, they were exactly like us. They were always jockeying to see who'd be the greatest among them. Who was going to be the star? Who was going to be in the spotlight? This actually happened, as you know, to two of Jesus' followers, James and John. Two of the most prominent guys in the New Testament. I think this is one of the funniest stories in the New Testament, if you track it, because these two actually go to their mommy. And they try to get her working on this one. They had mom go to Jesus and say, could my boys be in the luxury box with you in the kingdom of God? On the two seats right next to you. And I just picture Jesus shaking his head. Just shaking his head. A great New Testament scholar said this, that the single hardest lesson that Jesus had to teach his followers was that God defines greatness in the terms of servanthood. Nothing else but servanthood. Jesus would say remarkable things like this that quite honestly, they still grip us 2,000 years later. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 says this, whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant, and the greatest must be a slave to all. Folks, the greatest in the kingdom of God is a servant. One day Jesus took off his robe. John chapter 13, got down on his knees, grabbed a basin of water, and he washed his disciples' feet. Quite honestly, it was the most menial task that you could do. It was the task reserved for the lowest servants of the day. And Jesus did that, not because it was his spiritual gift, but because community is built by serving, by people who let go of all the ego stuff. What people never understood about Jesus, the reason so many people missed him, was because nobody thought that the Messiah, the Son of God, would come as a servant. But that is who he was, and that is who he is, a servant. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So at its core, this whole business of spiritual gifts is not primarily about me feeling fulfilled or me impressing others or me getting my picture on some Christian magazine because of my giftedness. At its core, it's It's about following Jesus and doing what he did and becoming the person that he was. The servanthood that New Song has been built on is not just busy people doing even more. It happens when people fall in love with Jesus so deeply that they start to walk so closely with him and they learn to be like him and they say, all right, Lord, and as best as I can and with your help, I'll do what you did. Let me tell you, folks, when you come to that place, he'll help you. I'm telling you, it's what makes for great families. It's what makes for great churches. It's what makes for great marriages, because community is built on servanthood. It's what makes a community great. I want to take just a moment right now. I want to talk to you personally for just a moment. I want you to listen with an open heart. I'd like you to ask you to just make this between you and God for a moment. Ask God to speak to you if you would. Some of you here, you know the deep-seated joy of discovering your spiritual gift and learning to use it in a lifestyle and a spirit of servanthood. I've been to a lot of different churches over my years, but I don't know of any that have the willingness and the heart that New Song does. I love this church. We're going to think about the whole world. We're going to know what it's like to influence and affect different continents, different cities, and the city here in Louisville and in Nicaragua and around the world. And we're going to go and we're going to be the kind of people who put a towel over our arms and get a basin of water. And we're going to wash some feet. We're going to serve. And I'm proud to be a part of a community like that. And for all those of you who've been doing that, I hope you feel deep inside God's delight, his deep delight in what you do. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you. Because as a church, we wouldn't exist if it were not for people who say, I'll serve. I'll serve. And by the way, God says, that is great. I want to conclude this message in a very unusual way. Today, we have the privilege and the honor of sending out some true servants who have heard the call of God, gotten out of the bleachers, and they are going onto the field, literally. I'm going to invite the Harper family, if they would, to come and come forward. And Trace, if you could hand them the mic as they come. I'm going to have them just line up across the platform here, up on the steps with me. I've asked each of them to share just a little bit about the journey. This is a big day for New Song because we are recognizing servants and commissioning servants of Jesus Christ to go into the world to shine his wonderful light and to make a difference. Can you give the Harpers a big hand of appreciation? Come on this way a little bit so they can see you a little better. You can be in the light better. Get these pretty girls in the light. Fantastic. Guys, I just want to take a little bit of time. I mean, this is hard for us. That's what this is, because we love you guys. And haven't we grown to love this family over the last? It's been an amazing journey. We've known all along it was preparing for this moment. So we're happy, but we're also feeling a little bit of sadness, and that happens. And we're excited because we're going to see you in NECA this summer. So that's good. And just go down the line. Tell us a little bit about the journey, about how God's been preparing you, and about what you're expecting. And I don't know, just tell us some good stuff, because we love you guys very, very much. So you guys go, and I'm going to go over here or do something. And I might be back up and ask you another question or so here in a minute.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. You guys have been a big part of this as well. The Lord has brought us so far. He put this on our heart to go to missions in Nicaragua 10 years ago. And he's taught us so many things in that. He's taught us that he's faithful, that he's worth waiting for, that he's worth pursuing, that he's worth listening to, and he's worth following. And this church, New Song, does have the heart of a servant. You guys are servants, and you're serving the Lord, and you reflect him in so many ways. Just the ways that you have sown into us to get us to the point where we are. I mean, we're not perfect still. We got a long way to go, but you guys have helped us out a lot. And we really appreciate you guys. You're like family to us, church family, extended family, and we're an extension of you guys going. So we really appreciate what you guys have done to help us. And it's been great to watch God work miracle after miracle after miracle to get us to this point as well. Somebody asked me one time, they're like, man, this is a really big step for you guys. You're going to be taking your family to some third world country. How in the world did you get to the point where you're willing to trust the Lord like that? I thought about it for a second. I'm like, well, God's been faithful in so many small things. It just makes sense to trust him with this too. And the Bible talks about how faithful God is, and he never fails. And the more we test him in that, the more he proves that that's true. So thank you guys for being a part of that too.
I didn't want to do this part. I told him my waterproof mascara is already packed, so geez. thank you. No, I'm very thankful that you've created a home away from home for us. It's been very difficult for us to be away from our family. We grew up in Florida. We have deep roots. I've never moved before in my life until we moved to Kentucky. So that the house I grew up in was built by my grandparents, and then we bought it. So the Lord began a process of helping me to let go. And you guys have walked through that with me. Some of you ladies have. Kathy came and helped me clean all day yesterday. Clean my bathroom. Nobody just does that. Thank you. But God has given us a family away from our physical family, and I'm so thankful for that. When we've walked through trials, you've been there with us. When we've needed counsel, when we've needed a shoulder to cry on, you guys have been there, and I'm so thankful. And one thing that comforts me is to know that we're going to be there for a month, and then our go team comes. And I'm so thankful that it's not goodbye. It's a see you later, like Carla says. And I'm so thankful for that, that we have that hope of staying connected. It's not just another move, but it's something you guys, part of your hearts, go with us. Because I don't know anyone else who has a heart for these people like you guys do. And when the Lord placed us together in 2008, we never knew it would lead this far in this direction, and we're so thankful for it. One of the things that I've been talking about with the Lord is, what is my purpose in Nicaragua? I know what our family's purpose is, and we have, you know, it's set up, and we've gone through everything we're supposed to be doing there, and we'll tell you what we're doing there, but I was really crying out, what is my purpose? And I've been doing that for 2 years. Just tell me what am I supposed to do there as a woman? And he was silent. And a friend of ours was traveling through Michigan to Florida, and she stopped by, and she's been helping her husband with a Christian Motorcycle Association. She was telling me what her purpose was in that. And I was like, man, Lord, I just really wish you would tell me my purpose. And as soon as I said that, he told me my purpose was to bring the Lord to the ladies of Nicaragua that culturally are not important. Here, us women have rights. We have a voice. We can be independent. And I don't find that in a lot of the ladies there. And he was showing me that creativity is something that's been stifled in a lot of women there, and how his wish is to unleash that in them, to let them see color, flowers, beauty, and that that's okay, that they can feel those things, that they can laugh, that they can find joy, all of these things that I never really saw before. And he's been confirming over and over that while we all have a purpose together, each of us individually have purpose. And you guys have helped to cultivate that in me. When Pastor Jeff challenges me to work on the mission board, it was for the purpose of unleashing something in me that I had squashed down for a long time. And he released that gift, and that he's asked me to pass that on to other ladies. So be praying in that, because I have no clue what I'm doing. But I want the Lord to be able to use me as a woman to encourage other women there, to encourage other moms that they are not just simply a person, but that they have purpose in their families too. So thank you for helping to encourage that in me. I very much appreciate that.
I hate microphones. What am I supposed to say?
Whatever's on your heart.
What's the topic? Yeah, I got, what am I supposed to say? I wasn't actually listening. Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, cool. I don't have much to say. Just that, yeah, I love you all very much, and I'm glad we've had the chance to get to know some of you, and you've really been a blessing to us in more ways than we can express, and it may not seem like it, but every single one of you is helping us go. It may not seem like you did anything, but you really did. And we needed all of you, so thank you.
Well, for me, God's been teaching me a lot of stuff this past week, and mostly this morning when I was speaking with God, I was like, God, in this season of my life, there's lots of lasts. That was something that stuck out to me. Last day in Louisville, last few weeks in America, last this. And I was like, man, it seems like a lot of stuff is ending. And then sometimes God gets sassy with me, and he's like, but this is also a season of a lot of firsts. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess. And I said, you want to elaborate on that, Jesus? Because I'm struggling here. And he says, yeah, this looks like a season of doing things for the last time. And, I mean, we can struggle with that. Last time maybe seeing people for a long time. Last time sleeping in my own bed. You know, last time being in this place that I've called home for a while. But God's like, this is also me seeing you step out. And this is your first time getting to see just like what, some stuff that new that God has for me. First time, you know, experiencing like the new things that God has listed out for me. And he's told me some of them, but God's like, this is a season of also firsts for you. And just like the new things that I'm going to do with you and the first time you're going to see like our new home, you know, in Nicaragua, and the first time that I'm going to use you to speak to someone, you know. And I mean, yeah, it can be sad that lasts are like last time I'm going to do things, but I mean, God is a God of firsts, the God of the up in front. He's not just the one that sits in the back at a battle. He is front and center, ready to take the challenges with me through life, whatever throws our way. And so, yeah, God is my first. He'll be my one and only forever. So, yeah, he's teaching me that this is a season of firsts also.
Come on, Bethany. Come on. You can't get out that easy.
I didn't think of anything.
Come on. Well, think of something quick.
Like me.
Tell us about what God's doing on this journey in your heart. Hold your microphone up where we can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't like microphones. I don't know. There's been a lot of things that God's been teaching me lately. I don't like hearing my voice. Never mind. But I think one of the things was, obviously, like, the thing is going around where everybody's like, you know, be still, you know, wait for him to say something for you and blah, blah, blah. I hate being still. Like, I cannot stand it. Like, I don't even sit in church usually. I've got to, like, be up in the back walking around because I can't sit still. So he was saying, like, not necessarily be still as in stand still, but be still as in be still as in be content with where he's put me and not always ask for more. Like, I'm sitting here like, oh, today's the last day. That's cool, you know? It's also kind of sad, but what about tomorrow? What about the next day? And I don't need to keep walking. But the next day and the next day and the next day, which, I mean, obviously I'm looking forward to, but I don't need to keep pressing and saying, well, I want more of this, more of this, more of this. It's, I want more of God, more of God, more of God. Be still where I'm at, but in my relationship with him, keep pressing, if that makes any sense at all.
Yes, amen. Absolutely, it does. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Harper family to come down here and kind of get you centered here. And because we are a family, yes, I'm going to ask folks to take another step forward, if you guys would, so people can come in front of you, behind you, all around you guys. And those of you who'd like to, you're all invited. Whoever wants to come and pray over these precious family members with me. And we're going to close today just by blessing them, commissioning them. This was something that happened oftentimes in the New Testament church, the early church, where just sending people out to do what God had called them to do. And this is exciting. By the way, church is not how many you seed, it's how many you send, folks. Amen. This is what it's all about, is sending people into the harvest fields of the world. And we love these guys. We're giving some of our very best. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a little celebration, but right now, let's focus in on prayer. Father, in the strong, strong name of Jesus, we commission the Harper family, Mike, Janine, Brittany, Bethany, Natalie, we commission them in the strong name of Jesus to go forward into the harvest field of this world to fulfill all that God has called them to do, to be on mission with God, to be missionaries to the country of Nicaragua, but to reach even beyond Nicaragua, to the other Central American countries throughout South America. God, you know how big that reach is going to be. May your mighty hand of blessing be upon them. May your hand of protection be over them. May you provide every need they have. May you surround them with your peace and your presence. May they feel your delight upon them, Lord, as they serve you faithfully every day with the tasks that are at hand before them. Lord, they're going as servants. They're in the game. They're doing exactly what you've called us as your followers to do. Now, Lord, your word says, lo, I'll be with you always, that when we put our heart to doing what you've called us to do, you are with us in a very special way. And may they sense that and know that, the peace and the presence of God every day, everywhere, as they go, in Jesus' strong name. And church, let's say it together. We bless you, in the strong name of Jesus. Go in his name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Amen. All right, you can find your way back to your seat for just a bit. Okay, we're about ready to dismiss because here's what's getting ready to happen. Got Chip behind me. Makes me nervous. No, I'm just kidding. I had him behind me one time singing a song over me. That was really something. But anyway. We're going to have Miss Betty, our hostess with the mostess, has made a nice bowl of punch back there. There's a beautiful, huge cake, and I understand it's surrounded by cupcakes, and I mean, it's just going to be a sugar high. It's going to be awesome in the name of the Lord, for God's glory. So would you stay? You know, we're ending a little earlier than usual. Would you stay, and would you